Welcome back. This is an advanced Ableton Live 12 sound design lesson, and we're going to build a proper old school drum and bass pad riser using resampling as the main creative weapon. Not a generic noise sweep. This is the kind of atmospheric, slightly destroyed. How many times did this go through a sampler pad that you'd hear sitting above rolling breaks and sub, especially in that metalheads or moving shadow zone? And the key idea is simple. We're going to create something musical first, then print it early, and only then start abusing the audio. Before we touch anything, set your session tempo to 172 BPM. Even if you're not running drums right now, you want the movement to feel right at DNB speed. Now set up two return tracks. Return is your reverb space. Drop hybrid reverb on it, pick a hall, and aim for a decay somewhere around 2.8 to 4.5 seconds. High cut the reverb around 7 to 9k so it's not fizzy, and add a little pre-delay, maybe 15 to 30 milliseconds, so the pad doesn't smear straight into the reverb immediately. Return bead is your dub trail. Put echo there. Use a rhythmic time like a quarter note, or for more syncopated push try 3/16. Keep feedback moderate, like 25 to 45%. Turn on the filter and push the width up a bit, 120 to 160%, so it blooms out to the sides. On the master, temporarily add a limiter, not to make it loud, just to keep you safe while we resample and stack generations. We'll keep our gain staging clean anyway, but ear protection is part of being pro. Mute your drums and bass for now, but keep the overall project context. We're building a riser that has to live with the drop later, so we'll be thinking about space from the start. Step 1. Build the source pad. Create a MIDI track and name it PAD Source. We'll use Waveedable because it's fast and it can absolutely do that 90s-style harmonic wash once you modulate it slowly. On oscillator 1, choose a saw wave. Turn on unison, set it to 4 voices, and attune somewhere in the 15 to 25% range. You want width and motion, but don't go so far that it turns into a trance super saw. Oscillator 2 can beat a sine or triangle mixed in quietly. That's your body. It fills the center without adding too much buzz. Now pick a filter with some character. MS2 or PRD are good choices. Set cutoff somewhere between about 400 Hz and 1.2K, depending how dark you want it, and add some drive, maybe 3 to 8 dB. We are building a pad that already feels slightly pushed, like it's been on a desk. For the amp envelope, give it an attack of around 80 to 250 milliseconds, so it blooms instead of snapping, and a release of 3 to 6 seconds so the tail has time to smear. Now the important part. Drift. Add a slow LFO to the filter cutoff. Keep the amount subtle, like 10 to 25, and set the rate extremely slow, around 0.08 to 0.18 Hz. That's a multi-second cycle. It should feel like the pad is breathing, not wobbling. Add a second LFO to fine pitch, very tiny, 2 to 6 cents, and again a slow rate, maybe 0.05 to 0.12 Hz. This is where nostalgic starts to happen. That micro instability is a huge part of the old hardware vibe. Now put in a chord progression that has old school tension. Minor 7 voicings, sus voicings, anything that feels emotional but slightly unresolved. If you want a concrete example, in a minor, play M7 for the first 8 bars. That's A, C, E, G. Then for bars 9 through 16, move to F maj 7, F A C E, or go M7, E G B D. Depending how dark you want the lift, keep the velocities slightly varied, plus or minus about 10, just to stop it from feeling like a static block. At this point, don't worry about it being a riser yet. We're just making a pad that feels alive. Step 2. The pre-resample 90s air chain. After Waveedable, add chorus ensemble. Set it to chorus mode, amount around 30 to 55%, rate slow, 0.1 to 0.35 Hz, and width wide, 120 to 200%. This is that gentle swirl that makes the pad feel like it's in motion even before you automate anything. Next, add auto filter. Use a 24 dB low pass, and park the cutoff around 800 Hz for now. We'll automate later, but we want an initial tone that's not too bright. If you want, add a small envelope amount, positive, just a touch, so the pad has a bit of dynamic opening when it plays. Then add saturator. Pick soft sine or analog clip. Drive it 2 to 6 dB and compensate output so you're not just getting louder. Think round and thick, not distorted lead. For reverb, here's a workflow choice. If you want flexibility, keep most of your reverb on returner right now. If you insert reverb directly on the track, you'll be committing it when you resample. And that can be amazing, but it reduces your options. So for this first pass, I recommend sending to return A and B rather than inserting huge time-based effects on the source. Finally, put utility on the end. Turn base mono on, or at least make sure the low end isn't wide, and gain stage it. Aim for peak somewhere around -12 to -6 dBFS. Resampling is like photocopying. If the first page is already crushed, every generation gets worse. Now step 3. Resample pass 1. This is where the lesson really starts. Create an audio track called PAD Print 1. Set its input to take audio from PAD source, and choose Post FX, Arm Pad Print 1, and record 16 bars while the MIDI plays. When it's recorded, open the clip. Turn warp on. Set warp mode to texture. Set grain size around 25 to 60 milliseconds, and flux around 10 to 25%. Listen closely right here. Texture warp is a vibe. It starts to smear harmonics in a way that feels like old time stretch algorithms and sampler artifacts. And that's exactly what we want. If it starts clicking or glitching in a bad way, add tiny fades on the clip edges before you go hard on warping. Micro fades prevent random grain clicks, especially when low-frequency partials get grabbed. Now step 4. Make it a riser using audio. This is the old-school move. Print first, then abuse. First, pitch movement. In the clip envelopes for PAD Print 1, automate clip transposition over the full 16 bars. A good range is 0 up to plus 5 semitones. If you want more drama, go to plus 7. But be careful, in DNB, the best risers are usually subtle until the last moment. Also, don't make the curve linear. Keep it gentle for the first 8 bars, then make it steeper in the last 4 bars, like the track is getting pulled into the drop. Next, add an auto filter on PAD Print 1 as an insert. Use LP12 or LP24. Automate cutoff from something like 500Hz up to 8 to 12K by the end. Add resonance around 0.8 to 1.4, just enough to give it a focused edge, and add drive, maybe 2 to 6 dB. Drive increasing with cutoff opening is one of those classic urgency signals. Now for rhythmic pressure without sidechain compression. Auto pan, but used as tremolo. Put auto pan after the filter. Set phase to 0 degrees so it becomes volume modulation instead of left-right panning. Choose a sine or triangle shape. Set rate to 1/4 note or 1/8 note. Keep amount modest at first, like 10 to 20%, and then automate it up toward 25 or 35% as you approach the drop. This is a big trick in old school. You create pump and motion, but you're not actually reacting to a kick you haven't written yet. It's musical, and it leaves space for your drums later. Quick coach check. Loop bar 16 into the drop, even if the drop is empty right now. Toggle the riser on and off. If you can already imagine the snare losing crack, you're probably too heavy around the mid-range. Old pads love to sit right where snares need to speak, especially in a 1.6K to 2.5K area. Keep that in mind for later EQ. Now step 5, resample pass 2. Commit the movement. This is where the multiple machines feeling starts to happen. Create another audio track. Pad print 2. Set its input to PAD print 1, again post FX, arm it, and record the same 16 bars. And now, we're going to degrade it like a jungle sampler, but controlled. On pad print 2, insert redux. Start with bit reduction around 12 bits, and set sample rate down to around 12 to 22K. You're listening for crunch and nostalgia, not a brittle alias scream. If the peak starts sounding zippy and sharp, here's a pro move. Put a very gentle saturator before redux, soft clipping just a little, to round off transients so the bit reduction feels like sampler crunch instead of harsh digital spikes. After redux, add roar if you want modern weight while staying vibey. Keep it subtle. Drive low, like 5 to 15%. Tone slightly dark, mix 10 to 30%. This is seasoning, not the whole meal. Then EQ8. High pass between 150 and 300 Hz so it's not fighting your sub or Reese later. If it gets boxy, dip gently around 250 to 500. If redux and roar made it harsh, add a small shelf cut above 8 to 10K, maybe -2 to -5 dB. Optionally add a glue compressor, 2 to 1. Attack around 10 milliseconds. Release on auto, just 1 to 3 dB of gain reduction to steady the tail. Now step 6. Shape it in arrangement like an actual DNB build. Bars 1 to 8. Make it wide and distant. Keep filter relatively low, and allow more reverb and echo send. Let it be fob. Bars 9 to 12. Start making the pitch rise more noticeable. This is where plus 2 to plus 3 semitone starts to register, especially if the harmony changed at bar 9. Also bring up your tremolo amount a touch. Bars 13 to 16. Tighten it. This is the contrast trick. Automate utility width from something like 140% down to about 80% by the last bar. Narrowing before the drop makes the drop feel wider when your full drums and bass slam back in. Also, pull down the reverb send in the last two bars. You want excitement, but you also want the drop to hit clean. And you can creep the high pass up slightly, like 150 up to 300 Hz, by the end, just keep the low mids from smearing into where your kick and bass will live. Here's another arrangement upgrade that screams old jungle tension. Create small gaps. In bars 9 to 16, mute the pad for the last eighth note every two bars, or gate little holes. Tension often comes from space, not from constant swelling. And for a classic pre-drop impact moment, in the final bar, hard cut the pad on the end of four, like the last eighth or even last sixteenth. Let only reverb ring for a split second. That tiny vacuum makes the drop feel violent. Now step 7. Print a final one shot. Once it feels right, record it as PAD final. No MIDI at the end. A single audio clip you can move between projects. Now you can do all the fun, fast stuff. Reverse the first half for suction. Chop the last bar into stutters. Gate sections for that chop tatmo vibe. And because it's printed, it behaves consistently, like a real sampled piece of audio, not a live synth patch that changes when you tweak one thing. Advance to extras, quickly, because this is where your risers go from good to ridiculous.